Welcome to City Club of Eugene's September 23rd, 2016 program, titled Secretary of State Candidate Forum, the second program in our 2016-2017 programming year. My name is Juan Carlos Valle, City Club Board President. The City Club of Eugene is a premier public forum affairs. We help formulate new approaches and solutions to problems by exploring a wide range of significant local, state, and national issues. Some say we are the movers and shakers in Eugene. I agree. If you believe that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us today. In 26 years of existence, we have produced over 1,300 public interest forums that have been attended by an audience of equal to 1.4 arts and stadiums full of people. City Club of Eugene is a central to civic participation in our community. Today's program is just an example of civic participation and service to our members and, of course, the rest of the community. Become a member today at www.cityclubofeugene.org. Our website has a lot of information, program information, as well as upcoming events and forums. We are especially grateful to our sponsors that help make our operations happen. Today's City Club program is supported by Housing and Community Services Agency, or HACSA, of Lane County, providing housing for low-income families, elderly citizens, and persons with disabilities. Now, let's jump right into the Secretary of State Candidate Forum. Today's program is coordinated by Sandra Bishop, and she will introduce the program, our speakers and moderator. It is my pleasure to welcome Sandra Bishop.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for being here today. It's exciting when we can have a firsthand experience of the candidates, one of whom is going to be our next Secretary of State. So, and I want to especially thank Sandy Erickson from our programming committee and Randy Prince for their help in helping to pull this program together. I want to first just describe what the format's going to be. We didn't want to have a formal debate. We wanted to allow the candidates to speak in a little more relaxed atmosphere. So we're going to have each of the candidates will have a 5-minute introductory remarks. Then most of our time will be spent in the Q&A period, question and answer. So there are index cards on all the tables. So anytime during this, just be writing down your questions. Then we'll come around and gather them up, or you can bring your questions up. And David and I are going to go through, just combine questions that are similar and make sure that Chris, our moderator, can read the handwriting. So please come up with some good questions. And if you can, address the question to one specific candidate, because we have so little time. If all three answer all questions, we'll probably only get through three questions. So, and I also wanted to say that, unfortunately, we got a call from Sharon Durbin, the Libertarian candidate, and she has had a family emergency, so she's not able to come today, unfortunately. So I'd like to introduce our candidates. We have with us today Brad Avakian, the Democratic candidate. Brad is our current labor commissioner for the state of Oregon. He became labor commissioner in 2008, and he has had a long career in the legislature. He went into the House of Representatives in 2002 and served from 2002 to 2006, at which time he was elected to the Senate. And he was a senator till 2008 when he became the labor commissioner. And we also have with us Dennis Richardson, the Republican candidate. And Dennis is also, they've been colleagues for many years in the legislature. Dennis was first elected as a House member in Oregon in 2002. He served for 12 years. And in 2011, he also served as co-chair of Ways and Means. And then in 2014, Dennis ran for governor and was defeated by the last governor, John Kitzhaber. So both these gentlemen have a lot of experience in leadership positions in the legislature and at the state level. And then Alan Zundel is our Pacific Green Party. Alan is no inexperienced person to politics either. He hasn't held elective office, but he has a background as a tenured professor of public policy. So one of these gentlemen will be our next Secretary of State, will be in good hands. Alan is now a part-time licensed professional counselor, retired from his tenured professorship. And he also serves as state secretary of the Pacific Green Party of Oregon. He and his wife live here in Eugene. So I'd also like to introduce our moderator today. We're very, very glad to have Chris Lehman here. Chris is a correspondent based in Salem. I think the last time I interacted with Chris, he was head of the correspondence group, the news group there, organizing all of the press conferences and everything in the basement of the Capitol. So Chris has been a Salem-based correspondent for 10 years. And he has his finger on the pulse of all that's happening at the state level in Oregon politics. So it's good to have him as the moderator. So I will, with that, I'll turn it over to Chris. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. It's very good to be here. And as Sandra mentioned, we will begin with 5-minute opening statements from the three candidates represented here today. And we did some coin tosses and determined an order. And Dennis Richardson will be leading us off. And it's time to come on up, Dennis. Thank you.
To put into perspective what we're doing by running for Secretary of State, I thought I would start with just a story. When I was 12 years old, I went on my first scouting long-term, long-distance hike. And our family didn't have much money, but we were told to, be prepared, like scouts are supposed to be. And so I had $4 to go and get shoes. Now, you can't buy boots for $4, but I could find moccasins. And since Indians use moccasins, I thought, why wouldn't I just get moccasins too, because it's a 10-mile hike. So I bought the moccasins, showed up for the hike. The scout leaders didn't pay any attention to what we had really brought. And so we started this hike, and within about probably 300 yards, I realized what a huge mistake this was. And so fortunately, there was another scout who had the foresight to bring tennis shoes along with him, and my leaders met with me. They saw what was happening with my feet, and I was able to borrow those shoes. The point was that in leadership, it's not enough to merely have authority, but you need to take responsibility to help ensure that those over whom you have authority are successful. In the Secretary of State's office, that's a very important principle, because the Secretary of State has the option and the opportunity to help benefit families all over the state, to make life better for families. The Secretary of State is over the auditing capacity and should serve like a GAO, like a government accountability office, where you actually are ensuring that the people's money is well spent. I mean, we have an education system that is the laughingstock of the country. We're near the lowest in graduation rates, and yet there seems to be no accountability for that. We pay huge amounts of money per student, but often the money gets squandered in so many areas that it doesn't make it to the classroom in sufficient amounts. And so we need a Secretary of State that will audit education and help ensure that the people's money is being well spent, but beyond that, do performance audits as well to help ensure that our policymakers have a clear idea based on evidence of what can be done to improve education outcomes. My wife and I, we adopted our 8th daughter, and she was a foster child that we had in our home. And so we really do care about what's happening in the foster care system. And we have in our state the Department of Human Services, where weekly we're seeing report after report of sexual abuse, physical abuse, even starvation of our kids in foster care. And yet there's always excuses, but no accountability and no change. And so the Secretary of State's office, by utilizing the authority of the audit in a positive way, both physically, fiscally, and performance-wise, can actually find out what is going on and what is really working in other jurisdictions and then make recommendations to make things better. We've lost nearly $1 billion of money that could have been used for our education or for foster care or for our the seniors programs like Project Independence. And what happened with that money? It went to Betsy credits that became sweetheart deals. There, for 6 years, there was no audit, no responsibility, no accountability, and most recently, there has been a partial audit that says that over $345 million of those credits has been done under questionable circumstances, has been turned over to the Department of Justice for further action. So what are we going to do? Let's have a Secretary of State who will utilize the process, who will utilize the power and the authority to benefit the state, and not expand it beyond what the intentions are in our statutes and in our Constitution, but let's utilize the opportunity that we've got so that we can ensure that the Secretary of State is functioning within the statutes and within the Constitution in all the capacities that the Secretary of State has. I'm Dennis Richardson, and I've just introduced this one aspect of what the Secretary of State does, and it's the one that's the most important, but the other aspects we'll be getting to as we go forward in the questioning today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Next, we'll hear from Democrat Brad Avakian.
Well, I want to thank you, Eugene City Club, first of all, for hosting this Secretary of State Forum. I am Brad Avakian, Oregon's Labor Commissioner, and the Democratic Party, the Working Family Party, and the Progressive Party's candidate for Secretary of State. You know, as I was growing up in Washington County, our dinner table was a place of great discussion every night. Sometimes it was as simple as, how did your day go at school today, or how's your Eagle Scout project coming along? Sometimes it was from the newspaper that my dad always brought to the table, where he questioned my brother and I about things that were going on in the world. It might be something like, hey, Brad, what did you think about the United States going into Cambodia yesterday? Well, I have to admit, as a 12-year-old, I don't know I always gave the best answers on foreign policy. But those dinner table discussions taught me a lot. It taught me that the world was a much bigger place than our dinner table, that we really should always be more concerned with the circumstances of others than we were about ourselves. And it's a lesson that I take with me in every part of my life as a civil rights attorney, as a legislator, as your state labor commissioner. And as labor commissioner, you and I have accomplished a lot together. We've held employers accountable, putting more than $25 million back in the pockets of people that were treated unfairly. We drew the roadmap to eliminate the wage disparities between men and women. We together brought back shop class to more than 340 Oregon schools, providing a well-rounded education and providing a great locally trained workforce for our businesses. When I look forward to the Secretary of State's office, I know we can do some of the great kind of innovative things that we've done together from this office. In the elections division, you'll see same-day voter registration. You'll see ballots and the voter's pamphlet and other state forms in first languages to make the ballot more accessible to immigrants. And just like we did with shop class, let's bring back civics education to our middle schools and high schools for every student. And I want to tell you about a program that I think we should do together as well, called the Oregon Youth Vote, where we'll send ballots to every one of our schools, one for each student. Students will study the ballot measures and the candidates in their civic or social studies class, and every student will vote in every election as a way to bring up young people understanding the value and the process of voting. Now, it won't count in the official results, but you know what? When the election is done, we'll tally those youth vote ballots and we'll show Oregon what young people thought, and we'll prove to young people that they have a real voice in our democracy. I've enjoyed the partnership we've had together in all my years of public service, and I am so excited to take on these new things together with you as Secretary of State. Again, thank you very much for the forum today.
Thank you, Brad. And just a quick note, I think all of our candidates have spotted her, but for the audience's information, we do have a timekeeper over here. Sandy, thank you very much. So finally, with an opening statement, will be Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party.
When there's limited competition in business, consumers suffer. Prices are higher than they need to be, and businesses aren't responsive as they should be to consumer needs. And I think it's very similar in politics. When there's limited competition in elections, the voters suffer. We have a two-party system in this country, and it was not handed down by God, nor is it an inevitable feature of democracy. It's created by our election laws. With the two-party system, most candidates and parties are marginalized and paid little attention to. And if they do show an increased level of support, they're vilified and beaten back down as potential spoilers. On the other hand, the two dominant parties, because they have to try to beat each other, two things become important to them. One is distinguishing themselves from the other party, and usually they do this by trying to activate their base using fear and negative campaigning. I'm not accusing either of these gentlemen of doing that, but you see this is pervasive in our politics. The polarization of the parties, the polarization of the voters, increasing rancor and all that goes along with it. And the second thing they have to do is spend a lot of time raising money to reach as many people as possible just to get that little more votes than the other candidate. This raises suspicions in voters' eyes that the candidates are going to be more responsive to their funders and donors than to the voters. And it's also dispiriting and demeaning for truly ethical candidates who have to go around begging for money just to get elected. As it was said earlier, I used to be a political scientist, and I taught public policy, so I taught in a variety of policy areas, and I saw a lot of big problems in our country that seemed to be getting worse. Two of them in particular were the increasing economic inequality and instability in the country, which was demonstrated in 2008 how the whole system could easily crash, and I don't think we're beyond those problems, and climate change. Yet the political system seems unable to respond to these problems in a way that really addresses them adequately. Right? I think we need fundamental election reform, and there's a lot of different reform ideas out there, and I would support most of them. Campaign financing laws, public funding of candidates, greater transparency, all these things. But I think fundamentally we need to address the problem of a two-party system. And I think the best way to do that is to move toward a system of ranked choice voting, which has also been called instant runoff voting. In ranked choice voting, you get to rank the candidates for an office in the order that you prefer them. This is my first choice candidate, my second choice candidate, my third choice candidate. And a candidate has to get a majority of the first place votes to win, unlike now where someone can win with less than a majority, which creates that spoiler dynamic. So with ranked choice voting, you do away with that kind of spoiler problem. If nobody gets a majority of the first place votes, then the candidate who came in last is eliminated from the race, and all of their votes are automatically transferred to the voter's next choice. The process keeps up until somebody gets an absolute majority. That's more than half of the votes that remain. So you do away with the spoiler problem, which means candidates and parties across the board get a more equal opportunity for a fair hearing. Voters get more of an opportunity for choice among the candidates, which means they can move away for candidates that aren't really responding to their needs if they feel they're responding more to their donors than to the voters. And we can reduce the influence of money because the voters' concerns become more important than donors' concerns when voters have somewhere else to go. I hope that's not for me. So this is my primary issue that I'm running on, is reforming the election system. Again, my name is Alan Zundel. I'm the candidate of the Pacific Green Party. Thank you.
In just a few minutes, we'll take a break, and you'll have the opportunity to submit questions. But first, I will use my moderator's prerogative here to ask a question of all three of our candidates, and we'll go ahead and answer in the same order as opening statements. And my question is this. If there's one word that really describes a lot of what needs to be done in the Secretary of State's office, it's impartiality, or that's the way it should be done, whether it's audits or overseeing the state's election system. As Secretary of State, you often are called upon to settle disputes between two different political parties or two candidates, perhaps, depending on the complaints that are filed or initiative petitions need to be reviewed. But currently, the Secretary of State's office is a partisan office, unlike the Labor Commissioner's office held currently by Mr. Avakian. Would you, as Secretary of State, support continuing the current law of having the Secretary of State be a partisan person, that is, a member of a certain political party, or would you support going to a nonpartisan model, as in the Labor Commissioner's office? Dennis Richardson.
Thank you. I'm Dennis Richardson. We have been asked to state our name because of the videoing that's taking place. I believe that the Secretary of State's office should be a nonpartisan office because it doesn't depend on party to administer the government. We need someone who will function in a nonpartisan way. And personally, I'm not taking money from partisan organizations in this campaign, nor am I endorsing candidates in this campaign, because I felt that as Secretary of State, I would not be able to do that, or I shouldn't do that. Even Kate Brown, when she was the Secretary of State, did not make endorsements. And so I think that it should be a nonpartisan office where you function in a way that, whether it's Democrat, Republican, Pacific Green, or any other party, or non-affiliated, they get treated the same, regardless of what the issue.
Well, and this highlights a major difference in the way that I think about public service and the way my opponent thinks about public service. And this question very unique to me, because I've actually served for 8.5 years in a nonpartisan office, the only executive branch nonpartisan office. And I have to tell you, for the last 8.5 years, it would not have mattered one way or another whether it was a partisan office or a nonpartisan office. I have had a job to do for you. And as labor commissioner, I have to serve kind of like a judge in wage and hour and civil rights cases. So important to have the right temperament, even-handedness, impartiality, weighing the facts to the law and coming to a just conclusion for everybody, just like you need to do in the Secretary of State's office. To me, it isn't so much whether it is a partisan or a nonpartisan office. It's how the individual that holds the office conducts themselves. And I have always conducted myself that way for you as Labor Commissioner, and I will as your Secretary of State.
That was Democrat Brad Avakian. And finally, we'll hear from Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party.
Well, I agree with both of them. I think it should be a nonpartisan office, and I think the whoever's elected should operate in a nonpartisan way. But on the other hand, I don't think it would really change a lot, because it's pretty obvious a lot of times what the party affiliation of nonpartisan candidates is. We have a county commission here in Lane County, and it's very obvious what the ideological positions of the commissioners is. But I would say, in a purely selfish way, that if it was nonpartisan, it would increase the chance of candidates like me to win the election, because people wouldn't be going strictly by party labels when they don't have any idea who you are, which often happens with some elections. So yes, I think making it nonpartisan would be a good idea. It would take away some of the partisanship, but really it's still under the surface there. Depends on the candidate, and they should be held accountable for making decisions in a nonpartisan way.
Thank you, Alan. And now I'd like to turn it over to Juan Carlos for an announcement.
All right, this is what civic engagement is all about. I hope that all of you think of questions and submit them in time so that it can be sorted out and asked to all the candidates. We're going to take a break, and we again expect your written questions, and then we'll come back in about 5 minutes. Thanks.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians in Eugene, 89.7 FM KLCC, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
All right, folks, let's all have a seat. Welcome back to the September the 23rd City Club program, the Secretary of State Candidate Forum. Today's program is supported by our silver sponsors, Marilyn Milne, Public Relations Services, Media Relations, Social Media, and Community Relations. By Jerry Dilhelm, Architect and Landscape Architect. They do planning and urban consulting. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. And thank you to our in-kind sponsor, our 91.9 FM KRVM public radio station owned by Eugene School District 4J since 1947. We also like to thank Community Television of Lane County for televising recent City Club programs Monday through Friday at noon, Saturday at 10:30, and Sunday at 9 p.m. Now let's get right back to our program. I'm going to turn things back over to Chris Lehman. Chris?
Thank you, Juan Carlos. And a quick announcement before we begin. I've been asked to remind people in the audience that the candidates have brought some material that is available to pick up on the table in the hallway outside. So please feel free to do that after the program concludes. For the next section, I will be asking questions submitted by members of the audience. Some of these questions are directed to specific candidates. Some of them are more general questions that could be answered by all three. So we'll try to keep it moving along and get through as many questions as possible. The first question is directed to Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party. The Secretary of State serves on the State Land Board. If elected, would you support the sale of the Elliott Forest as a member of the State Land Board?
No. I take very seriously climate change as something that's actually happening now. And of course, you have to look at what the laws are, and you're constrained to some extent by what the laws, what the existing laws say. But insofar as within my power, I'd be trying to preserve every piece of public land there was, because we need that carbon sequestration and preserve some of our natural forests for the rest of the generations coming after us. I guess that's it. No, that's my answer.
Thank you, Alan. Our next question will be for Brad Avakian, and this is related to the previous question, but this is more general. What do you see as your role on the State Land Board, and what specific wisdom or experiences would you bring to that role?
Well, the Secretary, along with the Treasurer and the Governor, comprise the State Land Board, and they are charged with using our state land and waterways to the best economic benefit for the Common School Fund. And as we know, that is oftentimes boiled down into a fight between cutting old growth timber or saving everything. I say let's try something different. Let's make Oregon a global leader in the fight against climate change. Let's use our state lands and waterways to promote renewable energy technologies, geothermal technologies in Central Oregon, environmentally safe solar fields in the east. Let's take a look at developing wave technologies on the coast. And with regard to the Elliott Forest, I am a no vote on the Elliott. If you want to look at the best economic benefit on the use of that land, we need to keep it for generations ahead, not sell it off now to timber companies in order to make a quick dime. And even broader than that economic benefit, you know, I grew up in Oregon hiking these state forests and fishing in them, and it taught me a lot about the land and the water and what it meant to be an Oregonian. They are a part of our DNA, they are a part of our culture, and they must be preserved.
Thank you. And I think since we had two very similar questions, we'll give Dennis Richardson the opportunity to address what he feels his role would be on the state land board. And if you care to address the specific question about the Elliott State Forest, feel free to do so.
Certainly. Thank you. As a member of the land board, we have responsibility to ensure that the lands in Oregon are productive, producing income for the schools, as well as conserved and retained for generations to come. We have a sale that's been discussed of the Elliott, and it's easy for a candidate just to say, absolutely not. But I think the more rational answer is, why don't we find out why do we have a Democrat governor, treasurer, and Secretary of State that are all considering the sale? And from what I've read, the reason that they're considering is because what they found is that the state of Oregon is not good at managing forests. And the proposed sale says that there will be access for the generations to come. Conservation will take place so that we have renewable resources that will be replanting when there's harvesting, and it will not be involving the old growth timber, and that it will be done in a way so that we're not just sitting there ignoring our forests while they cost us millions of dollars a year to maintain and we're getting nothing from it, and waiting for the next catastrophic forest fire to come and decimate our forests because of a lack of management. So whoever becomes Secretary of State should evaluate what has gone into the discussion and then make a decision with the land board that's based on a rational approach for what's best for now and for generations to come.
Thank you, Dennis. Our next question will be for Brad Avakian, and as you'll see in a moment, this can only be answered by Mr. Avakian. And it's not directly related to what you will do as Secretary of State, but it is rather, why do you want to leave the Labor Commissioner position?
Well, it isn't so much a wanting to leave this position. I have to tell you, it has been one of the greatest privileges of my life serving as your labor commissioner. I get up every morning and my job is to find a way to help make businesses be more successful in Oregon and to make sure that workers are kept free from discrimination and are getting paid every single dollar that they've earned. I've been in the job for 8.5 years. I would have been term limited out of the Secretary of State's position by this time. We have done great work together in this post. I see terrific opportunities for us to work together in doing great work again from the Secretary of State's office. But I have to tell you, it has just been a tremendous experience and such a pleasure serving as your Labor Commissioner the last 8.5 years.
Our next question will be for Dennis Richardson, and I think all three of you will answer this in various ways throughout the program. But Dennis, this questioner wants to know what specific improvements or changes you would have in mind to the actual office of the Secretary of State. I think this might refer to sort of internal office structure or priorities of the office.
I believe for several terms now, the Secretary of State's office has been avoiding controversial issues which would be embarrassing to one party. Regardless of which party, one party rule has not worked well. Our current governor was Secretary of State for 6 years while we had Cover Oregon and the whole fiasco of wasting $300 million was going on. There was no audit. No audit on the Columbia River crossing the bridge project, almost $200 million wasted. No audit during that time of the Betsy tax credits, almost $1 billion wasted. I believe the Secretary of State's office should actively be involved in tracking the people's money, protecting the people, not protecting party. Our system works when you have checks and balances, and we don't have that presently. So I believe that as Secretary of State, what I will do is ensure that fiscal and performance audits take place so that our policymakers will get good information on what is being wasted as far as the money is concerned and what recommendations can be made to help improve our programs, to help improve foster care and education and the way that we deal with the budgets that we give the various agencies. We have the ability to ensure that the Corporations Division becomes an open door for businesses to come and get answers to their businesses and not have, and to their questions, and not be afraid to come in because of retaliation or prosecution or investigation or audits of private businesses.
Thank you, Dennis. Our next question will be for Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party. And our questioner lists a couple of different methods of implementing ranked choice voting, and rather than attempt to describe them, I think I'd be interested in hearing your opinion about what is the best system, and perhaps you can briefly describe that system for us to implement ranked choice voting.
Well, ranked choice voting is one of a number of alternative voting systems. In my time studying the different voting systems, I just regarded this as having the most cost, I mean the most benefits over cost of all the ones that I looked at. And it would take a while to assess all the different voting systems and talk about why I think this one would be the best. Every voting system has problems in particular types of electoral scenarios. This one just happens to be one that I think minimizes the particular problems we're dealing with and avoids a lot of the other problems. How you would implement it, I mean, that's not really in the power of the Secretary of State to do that. The best thing the Secretary can do is raise the issue to the public and to the legislature to try to promote it, to give reform ideas and point out the problems so that there's more political effort behind that. One of the specific things the Secretary can do is they have a role in certification of voting technology. And with the electronic voting machines that we have now, they become outdated very fast, and most of them in the state are going to need to be replaced soon. I would ensure that the new technology is capable of implementing ranked choice voting, and I'd also be looking at things like reliability and security as well.
Our next question, I believe, will be appropriate to be answered by all three of our candidates, and we'll go Brad Avakian, Dennis Richardson, and Alan Zundel. I'll just let you come up in order to save time, one after the other. And the question is, as we saw last year, the Secretary of State is first in line to become governor should the governor need to leave office or choose to leave office. What makes you ready as Secretary of State to step up as governor should the need arise?
Well, it is a very important responsibility about the job. I am so excited to be your next Secretary of State, not thinking about the other office. There is so much we can do together from the Secretary of State's position, but I go into it understanding that it's part of the responsibility of the job. And if, heaven forbid, something that had happened to our governor or she were to vacate the office, I would be prepared to take on the responsibility for you. Now, the governor's primary responsibility is to make sure that the state agencies are managed well. Of all of us in this race, I'm the only one that for the last 8.5 years has successfully managed a state agency, an agency of the approximate size and diversity and responsibilities as the Secretary of State's office. That would be the Bureau of Labor and Industries. But it also brings up a very important point that when folks evaluate who should be their next Secretary of State, you should think in terms of that in case it were to happen. Not just the functions of the Secretary of State's office, but where do the candidates stand on other positions that you would like to see or not like to see as governor. As an example, I am pro-choice. My opponent, Dennis Richardson, isn't. I carried the Equality Act to passage on the Senate floor. My opponent, Dennis Richardson, voted against it. I helped write and pass Oregon's Renewable Energy Act. My opponent, Dennis Richardson, voted no.
I was finished with politics after losing my campaign to John Kitzhaber. One of the reasons that I came back and am running now, instead of playing with my grandkids, is because the problems that I was trying to resolve in running for governor still exist. And I was retired, and I'm coming back to run for this office, but if I were to become governor, you know who I am. You know that I deal fairly and that I'm not a career politician. I don't try and just cover the problems that exist and make excuses for them. I don't attack individuals and put them out of business with fines like $135,000 for a mom-and-pop bakery or $400,000 for a guy who was running a bar. I think that the governor needs to be level-headed and fair and not partisan in making sure that you benefit all philosophies. The social issues have been resolved. And that's what is crucial, is that we're not talking about social issues. For 12 years, I represented a very conservative district in Southern Oregon. As governor, I represent all of the people. And you know who I am. You know that I'm in favor of accountability, transparency, and integrity. And we need that in our highest office.
Again, I'm Alan Zundel. I don't think anybody is ever really prepared to take on the level of responsibility for an office like that. And it's hard to predict in advance what kind of policies and issues you're going to be dealing with. So I can't say that I'm fully prepared to do that. But I would say my background in studying and teaching public policy for a number of years gave me some skills, number one, to be able to get a sense of a policy area very quickly because you have a background in the history of different policy areas so that you have some sense of what's gone before, what's worked, what hasn't, what the primary positions of it are. So I think I would be a quick study on a lot of issues in that respect. I'd also say that as a candidate of the Green Party, you can know that I'm not going to handle things in a partisan manner because I'd expect the legislature to be composed primarily of Republicans and Democrats, and I'm not going to take sides there. I'm going to be much more impartial and trying to look for solutions, which again is part of my training, look at issues from a rational perspective and try to determine what's at stake here, what's the best solution, how's it going to work out in the real world and things like that. That would be my approach, more of a political science kind of approach, which some people like, some people wouldn't, but that would probably be my mentality in approaching things.
Thank you, Alan. We'll have time for one more question, and then the candidates will give a closing statement. And we'll do what we did again. I'll announce your names, and you can just come right up. So for our final question, we'll start with Dennis Richardson, and then go to Alan Zundel, and then conclude with Brad Avakian. The next round of redistricting will be based on the results of the 2020 census. So it's coming up kind of soon. Depending on how the legislature acts, the Secretary of State can have a significant role in redistricting. What is your philosophy about how redistricting should be executed on a state level?
Redistricting is crucially important because it determines the power structure throughout the state. And it's intended to be fair and nonpartisan, but gerrymandering becomes such a common issue that every 10 years you see it happening. I believe that it is time for Secretary of State, and I, as Secretary of State, would convene a commission to evaluate a way to conduct redistricting that takes the politics out of it. California has done this with retired judges. Other states have done it in different ways. We need to come up with a way so that not just this time, but every 10 years, when you have redistricting take place, it's based on neighborhoods and communities and not on partisan registration to stack the deck in favor of one party or another.
Alan Zundel.
Well, redistricting is a problem on top of a problem because, as I said before, an election system creates a two-party system. But then those two parties try to make sure that a lot of districts are one-party systems, and you don't even have a choice between two parties or two candidates that are actually viable in the election. One-party system, in my mind, is the same as the Soviet Union. You know, you can have the illusion of choice without the reality of choice. So I would be looking at, like, some of the things Dennis said. I would also be looking at keeping communities of interest together, neighborhoods, sensible lines that make sense geographically. But I would take partisanship out of it simply because there's not enough registered Greens in the state to create a single Green district. So I'd be looking at something that's a little more fair, I think. I hope I would.
The way it works in Oregon is redistricting goes to the legislature first. If they can't come to some agreement on it, it goes to the Secretary of State. That's the way that it's almost always happened. So it's very likely that one of the whoever wins this race is going to be doing the redistricting next time around. And the law is clear that you must keep like communities of interest together. So there's guidelines on how to do this. We have our choice in Oregon. We can have somebody that the people elect and that is answerable only to the people making those kind of decisions, or we can set up some new kind of system that my opponent talks about, where we have political appointees that are answerable to the people that appointed them, not to the electorate making those decisions. Any system you have out there can be used right or it can be used wrong. I'm always more comfortable with the people deciding who makes those choices.
Thank you, Brad. For our closing statements, we will, I've been given a note saying we have time for 2-minute wrap-up statements due to the clock. And we will go in the following order: Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party, followed by Democrat Brad Avakian, and finally Republican Dennis Richardson. So, Alan.
I'm not even sure I need 2 minutes. I'm conscious, the contradiction of me running for an office while I'm also telling you that it's next to impossible for a candidate from a smaller party to win, I'm very conscious of that, you know? So making a lot of promises about what I'm gonna do when elected seems kind of pointless. I do have positions on a variety of other issues, and if you're interested enough to go, you could go to my website, which is voteforallan, VOTEFORALAN.org. But I would say, at the same time, I can't promise people that if they vote for me, I'm going to win this election, make all these big changes. To me, that's a lot of candidates will do that. Even though they don't have a reasonable chance of winning, they may say, you know, if you get out there, work hard enough, and vote for me, things will change. What I'd say instead is, if you vote for me, that vote will say something to the people who do take office. It will say that you care enough about fundamental electoral reform that you want to support a candidate who's talking about that, that you want them to pay attention to that issue, okay? So, in summary, my primary issue, again, is fundamental electoral reform. That's why I'm running. I've been working on it for 10 years voluntarily as a citizen after I retired from political science. I'm going to keep working on it until I'm not able to do it anymore because I think it's that important. Thank you.
Before I sum up, let me just respond to one thing that Alan just said. Alan, I am glad you're in this race. I think everybody has got a shot at winning, and I think everybody who runs for office ought to believe that they've got a shot at winning. Now, maybe we need to build a better system that gives everybody a stronger voice, but the things that you're talking about in this race from the Pacific Green Party are valuable and deserve to have a stage. So I'm just very glad that you're here today and that you're in this race. You know, I've always been the kind of person in public service that has put our values into action, whether that's been as labor commissioner helping to create the roadmap to eliminate the wage disparities between men and women, putting the $25 million into the pockets of workers and others that have been treated unfairly in our state, helping build the coalition that's brought over 340 shop classes back to our middle schools and high schools, or now looking forward as Secretary of State, breaking down barriers to the ballot with same-day voter registration, with finally passing campaign finance limits in our state, and by making sure that immigrants have every opportunity to get to the ballot as well, or using the State Land Board to promote renewable energy, or bringing civics education in the Oregon youth vote. I've always put our values into action. I want to thank you again so much for the forum today, and I also want to thank you, Eugene City Club, for always being a group that's put our values into action as well. Thank you.
Having listened to that closing, it sounds like he's running for governor right now. The Secretary of State is a limited position for administration. You don't pass the law. You have nothing to do with climate change, with gun control, with social issues. It's about making sure that our state functions in an open and fair manner. As Secretary of State, that is a job that I will do. In a nonpartisan way, I will help ensure that we have elections that are fair and open and transparent. I'll make sure that the the corporations division is not morphed into a prosecutorial situation where you use your 72 auditors in the audit division and the Department of Corporations to go after businesses, and when it's supposed to be a place where businesses can come and get answers. I want businesses to grow so that they'll create more jobs. I want to ensure that the land board is used in a way that is rational without making promises before I even know what the facts are. I want to ensure that we have a place that whistleblowers can come and not have retaliation. Right now, we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments to people that come forward to tell about what's going on in their agencies or programs, but then they're blackballed and not able to come back to work for the state ever again. What we need is people to be able to come to a place where they can have privacy, where they will have protection, where whistleblowers can give us information that will help us to ensure greater transparency, openness, and integrity in our highest office in the state. I offer myself because I believe I have the experience, the ability, the knowledge, and the temperament not to attack, but to facilitate. And with your help, I'll be able to show that that's what I can do. And I hope that you will go to DennisRichardson.com, see what I stand for, see who I really am and not the caricature that's presented, and allow me to become your Secretary of State. Thank you.
Let's have a final round of applause for all three of our candidates. Again, we just heard from Alan Zundel of the Pacific Green Party, Democrat Brad Avakian, and Republican Dennis Richardson. Thanks to each of you for a spirited and informative conversation today. And I'll turn it over now to Juan Carlos Valle for a few closing announcements.
All right, thank you all for your participation, for all your questions. And again, let's give just a big round of applause to all the candidates that participate in the Secretary of State Candidate Forum. Dennis Richardson, the Republican Party, Brad Avakian from Democrat, and Alan Zundel from the Pacific Green Party. And we are sorry that Sharon Durbin, Libertarian Party, could not come today. She was scheduled but couldn't come today. And thanks again to our sponsors, Housing and Community Services Agency, HACSA of Lane County, Marilyn Milne, Public Relations Services, and Jerry Dittham, Architect and Landscape Architect, 91.9 FM KRVM, and of course, to you that are supporting our operations every Friday in and out. I am quite excited to share with you our next City Club event. We invite you to our first annual fundraising event, where the matinee music salon is going to happen on Saturday, October the 15th from 3 to 5 p.m. And details can be found at www.cityclubofeugene.org. And you can also find our next program and info. Our next Friday program is a debate on the Oregon Business Tax Increase Initiative. This is called Measure 97. And, of course, additional information on programs and forums you can find on our website. Thank you for your time. My name is Juan Carlos Valle. This concludes our program.